Hey guys, Jacob here, and welcome to the new episode of Automated Seller Podcast. Today I have a new special guest, Vanessa Hang. Hi Vanessa, how are you? Sure. So Vanessa, I know that you are actually having your own business and you are the CEO of Online Seller Solutions. We'll definitely talk about it just in a moment. And also you are a community ambassador of Carbon 6. We actually had the Carbon 6 CEO come in here once, Justin Kopp, who already talked a little bit about Carbon 6. I'm very happy to actually talk about it, see some updates, because it's been some time since we recorded the previous episode. But before we jump to all of those things and also like some of the other questions that I have for you today, I would love to hear a little bit of your background and your story. So how did you actually end up working with e-commerce and Amazon, and how did you start?
It's a loaded question. I think the quickest answer, the short version, was that when I was in Venezuela, I had a brand that I wanted to sell on Amazon. I wanted to take it to Amazon. I tried to research about it, like learn a little bit about the FBA business model that was pretty popular back in 2015. And then I learned through YouTube, but I got stuck in at the time that I had to create an LLC in the US. At that moment, I was living in Venezuela, so there was not a simple way to do it. And at that time, Amazon didn't allow like Venezuelan businesses to have an Amazon account. So I basically, it didn't work. I kept selling my brand through social media. That was the thing in Venezuela, like through Instagram and Facebook and things like that.
So that was like just a typical e-commerce store that you were just selling for social media, like just to promote your products, right?
Correct.
And what did you sell actually? What was the brand about?
Balance boards.
Okay.
You know what a balance board is? A board, and under has like a roll, and you will like.
Yeah, I know that. I actually love them. So that's super
cool.
Me too.
Cool. I love them.
But it's super hard, actually, especially when you try it for the first time in like a actual store, and you fall down.
It is one thing that I got obsessed with, like back in the day. I like to like surf and skateboard, so I was always around boards. And then when I saw that concept, was like, oh my god, I can do it without going to a park or without, you know, being at the beach. So yeah, I created the brand, and also my family had businesses that had to do with wood. So for me, it was pretty easy to manage, you know, getting the wood, cutting the wood, and everything was wooden products. So that, I fell in love with that brand. Then I start teaching people how to balance in the board, which was the thing that really made me fall in love with education, and which is a lot of the things that I do right now. But fast forward, I moved to the US. I got a job at a store as a procurement person. So basically, I was putting things in the inventory. And at the time, my boss said, like, hey, we want to start selling online. We want to start selling on Amazon. And I already knew, because I was, you know, I did my research back in the day to sell on Amazon. I understood the FBA model. So I'm like, let's go, let's do it. So we started the account from zero, from the first day, and then scaled it like in a couple of months to seven figures. And then we opened two more stores. They were an authorized distributor for a bunch of brand names, and that was really, you know, it was great. We grew so fast because, you know, the brands were already positioned in the market. But one thing that happened there in that job was that I fall in love with the back end of Amazon. So what I was doing, since we were not building brands, right? We were just managing a big store, a massive, massive catalog, because they had tons of variations. I learned how to do a lot of the unsexy stuff, or what I call the unsexy. So flat files and fees and making sure the catalog is good, the things are reflecting in the pro detail page, and a lot of the compliance. So my job there was, you know, being the e-commerce person, but also understanding all of these things that I need to know about on Amazon. And when I started going out to groups because there is a huge group of sellers in South Florida. I started engaging with them. I realized that what I like to do and what was my specialty in the account, managing that those accounts was not very common, right? It was the thing, the unsexy stuff, or what I call the unsexy, was something that most sellers struggle with. Why? Because they undervalue or underestimate the impact and the importance that account management has. So most people, they think like, oh, I'm gonna build an amazing brand, buy it for super cheap in China, sell it in the US for way more, and then I'm gonna make a bunch of profit. So in the middle, they may fall in love with pro development, a little bit of branding, maybe advertising, but what we call like the account management, the seller central platform things that you need to do in order to have your account up and running, those are the things that are often overlooked. And also, Amazon changes so fast that even if you're really good today, and if you don't keep doing it, you will be obsolete, like, I don't know, in 3 months, probably. That's how fast they change. So I realized that opportunity and I'm like, oh, wow, I think I'm onto something that is different. Let me start doing some work for some sellers. They hire me as a consultant, as a freelancer to solve some of the problems. And that grew and scaled to a point that I was able to, found a company, an agency, hire people, hire the first account manager, and then the second and third, and then keep scaling to the point that now I have an agency that helps sellers to solve and run any areas in the Seller Central platform that is not advertising. So we don't touch advertising, we do everything else. So catalog,
Got it.
inventory, account health, brand registry, creative, and promotions. So everything there, all of the solutions that most people overlook.
Okay, that's awesome. And actually, I will have a lot of questions about that, especially so about the Amazon catalog, about the flat files, and also overall about the SEO on Amazon. But before we jump to those questions, actually, I would love to also hear a little bit more about your position at the Carbon 6, like community ambassador. Like, what exactly you do there?
So that's probably a nice title for the outside world. I would like to think of myself like internally as the in-house Amazon expert. So the great thing about my role in Carbon 6 is that I have the privilege of working with the sales team, the development team, the engineer, the product team to build things that are amazing. So a lot of like pro development to see like, hey, should we give them this piece of data or that piece of data? Or should we do this dashboard in this way or that way? So I love working with the pro team. That's probably one of my favorite things to do. And also on the sales side, it's just like, what is the best thing that we can, or what's the best way to promote this specific service? What should we be talking about? And in the every week, I run something called the Amazon Insights. So internally for the company, I bring them the knowledge and do a little bit of education for the whole company to understand the ecosystem. And one thing that I really value and I love about Carbon 6 in general is that we are really committed to understand the industry that we're playing in. Because a lot of people will say like, oh, well, the founders are not necessarily, came from the Amazon selling background. And a lot of people, and I remember when Carbon 6 just started and I joined the company, a lot of the feedback from the community was like, oh, they don't understand the space because they've never sold on Amazon or anything like that. And to a certain extent, I think that was an advantage that we have because we have very like amazing, talented people in the business that don't necessarily come or have the same like preconceptions from the space, and
Could it
we're
be here?
allowed to be more I don't know, business intelligent in a sense. So the work just to not have both things, because you can also not be completely detached to what's happening in the community, in the space especially. So I go in and I bring the data and I bring the news and I bring the new updates that happen on Amazon that will impact every single position at Carbon 6, both on the marketing side of things and how we communicate, on the sales team, on how they interact with the customers, on the product level, on how this will ultimately impact the data that they're seeing and how sellers have more data right now in Seller Central. So I try to keep it, you know, updated and give a lot of education for them. And on the public side, that's internally. And publicly, I do a lot of, you know, speaking, going to events, being kind of the face to a lot of their, you know, engagements, in a lot of their engagements. And yeah, we're working on a super cool project right now. We're going to launch at Prosper. So that's kind of a surprise that we're working on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
We'll definitely meet there, actually. We also go to Prosper show, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But no, like, so that's something very interesting that you said about, like, the founders and the community aspect, because, I mean, it's similar case for us. I mean, none of us was the Amazon seller or coming from the Amazon space. We all came from the developer side. So we have all of the technical abilities and we actually now went, like, got to the space through, like, multiple conferences, through this podcast, and actually all of the knowledge that we got is coming from our clients. And it's always very nice to actually tell our clients our perspective on Amazon without knowing, like, the space, or without having the seller DNA. But I think there's a place for everyone, and definitely having a person like you is great for a company. And this is something that we actually have also planned for this year, that, for example, for our sales department, we realized that we would actually like to hire a seller. So we will finally actually have all of the updates from Amazon seller, right? And maybe know more on what's very important for other sellers if we are actually selling them custom software services. So that's something very cool. And definitely, I know that this space is overall amazing. I mean, all of the events, all of the like groups, conferences and everything. I love them, actually. Like, I've been to other industries before, but this one is so far the best. Like, for example, I was in, like, automotive space, I was in logistics and manufacturing. They were kind of, I don't know, boring and felt old fashioned, but this one is really cool. So.
Yeah, it is fun. It is very new, and I think that's one of the things that make it so interesting. It's because we don't, like other industries, that the one you mentioned, they have a lot of regulations ultimately. You know, there is a way to do logistics and there is a way to do automotive, and there is no, you know, gray spaces or things that you could do outside of the box there, even though there is a lot of innovation. On the e-commerce space, since it's so new and there is very little regulations, then it's basically up to the faces and the thought leaders in the space to make whatever they want, right? Like, to test things, to, you know, break things. So,
especially on the software side, there is just so much that can be done. I mean, I know that you have a great tools, but for example, on our side, also as a software company, like, I mean, in our case, we always build custom tools. So people, like our clients, come to us with the ideas, and we launch those products usually just for them. They are not like SaaS for communities like you. But what's very interesting is just like that each business is so different, and even though there are so many tools that are helping so many people, there's always a person, always a company that comes up with something new and completely changes the game. Even though if it might be that this person just compete with 10 other Amazon sellers, but they are selling just something very unique. Or like we had some cases that, for example, people will, like we build a proxy for Nigerian market because Amazon is not like legal. Like basically Amazon is not shipping to Nigeria, right? But people still want products from Amazon. So we built like the proxy for one Nigerian company. So people can actually order stuff from Amazon, but it's not really coming from Amazon directly, but through this proxy, right? So there's just so many different ideas. And I actually, that's why I also love this space, because on daily basis, we are learning about new possibilities and challenges and ways how to overcome them.
Yeah. And the system, the ecosystem, the Amazon ecosystem is so big. It's so, so big and so complex that, as you said, the possibilities are endless.
I always call it actually the Amazon iceberg, because especially for us that we came to this space like around 2 years ago, and we thought we know something, and now the more we know, the more we think that we don't know, and we just see it as a huge iceberg, right? And especially on those conferences, the more people you met, like 7 or 8 figures less, they will always show you something new. So that's great.
Yeah, it is.
Now, Vanessa, I would love to actually talk more about the agency side and the services side. So I know that you're the expert. You had a brand. So let's talk about the Amazon catalog, right? So the unsexy things for Amazon. I would love to hear from you. Top 10. I mean, it doesn't have to be 10, but like overall, like top practices to manage Amazon catalog, especially nowadays.
Okay. That's a very interesting question. I guess the first thing that I'll say, and the point number one, is think about the catalog as an ever-evolving thing, and what you think is true, like, today, it will probably won't be true in, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months. It really depends on what category and what specific area you're selling. But right now, the Amazon, in the first 2 months of the year in 2024, they basically changed a lot of things in the catalog. And with that, one of the biggest changes was the new dashboard. So right now, most sellers have the ability to change the view in their manage all inventory to a new, completely new dashboard that have more information than what we see right now in the catalog. So to the first point of the things for good catalog management, don't take any dashboard for granted, and don't take any practice for granted, especially because you will see how people will say, like, oh, well, but we've been doing this for, I don't know, 2 years. Why is it not working right now? Well, the answer is that's Amazon, right? The other thing, so that's point number one, like understanding that you're always like in a moving ecosystem and ever evolving, and you cannot take things for granted. Then the second one is building a strong foundation. So when sellers go to launch their product, they normally, you know, focus a lot on product development. They focus a lot on the branding, on the launch, on what are the cool things that they're going to put for their product out there to get a lot of traffic and eventually, you know, sell out and stuff like that. But on the catalog side of things, and when I say catalog, this involves also a lot of the compliance. And this we'll see that will be a trend in 2024, is a lot of the compliance on Amazon. Is that they are changing some rules and they are enforcing certain things that we're not enforcing before. So if you're going to launch something, make sure that you understand really well what are the ruling policies and what are the documentations requirements that you need in order to sell that product. A lot of what we have seen so far, and this is an example, actually, I don't know if you saw that news, the FDA sent a warning to Amazon saying that in the platform, there's people selling products that have a component that is a prescription component. Mm-hmm. Even though Amazon was, you know, they are allowed, they're selling it, and Amazon wasn't aware that was happening. So because of that, a lot of the compliance issues will come up this year, because they will regulate really, really hard the things that they're selling, or the things that they allow the third-party sellers to sell. So understanding that side of things will be important for you to build the catalog. And especially on the consumable side of things, anything that is consumable, that has compliance, no matter if it's not a food product, but regardless. So for example, I have a client that sells labels. So, and you will think like for a printer, labels are like super silly, but they're still consumables. Those are also regulated. Like I didn't know that until I started working with this client and Amazon started asking for things that they didn't know about either. So understanding that, and if you will take the Amazon hat and take your business to any other area, like in the US, for example, if you wanted to start a brand that you wanted to sell on Walmart, like on the retail store on Walmart or Target or Macy's or Nordstrom, whatever you want to sell it, they will ask you very rigorous, you know, requirements, and they will request you a bunch of documents in order for you to be there. Amazon wasn't like that before, and I think in 2024 that will be the case. So understanding your compliance will be the second. The third point,
just to say compliance is, I think there will be like some actually regulations coming from the government also, right? That you actually need to have like a documentation for your products and so on. Like we actually are working with one client that built the software for compliances, and he is like he actually were really like on it for the last 10 years. So I recently had him also on the podcast. So I know that this is something very, very important also, like on the Amazon side, and I can only agree here. So I know that for sellers, I think it will be very important to build all of the documentations and have all of the documents ready for the products. So yeah, correct. Just want to say here.
Yeah, 100%. And that's a great solution, because so far, Amazon is a reactive marketplace. Like, they don't have a space for you to store or give information proactively, basically. So the only way for you to do it, if you get triggered and you get suspended or you get a warning, which is really inefficient, but at the end of the day, that's how it works. So, and the other part, and if I'm talking about compliance, you will think like, well, Vanessa, but compliance is not really catalog. But it is, and has to do a lot with it, because a lot of people that think that it's just, you know, putting a listing up and selling it, that's not enough. You know, it was at some point, it was a model that was valid, not anymore. The other part, and just as a foundation, it's really, really, really important that you understand the policies. And for listings and catalog compliance, now Amazon is asking, and they're enforcing really, really hard, ASINs or product listings that don't have a GS1 UPC. So you need to have a verifiable GS1 UPC to create your product. So if anybody that's listening is thinking about launching a product, you don't cut corners with a GS1 UPC. Because if you do that, you will like run into so many issues in the future. It's insane. So best recommendation, best practice is to have the GS1. And if you have ASINs that at one point, you know, you purchase the UPC from a different platform that is not GS1, we have a process to change that. So it is possible to update the UPC to a GS1. We have already done it for a bunch of clients. So that's one thing that you could do to fix it and keep moving forward. The other thing is, when you build the catalog, one thing that most people overlook and they don't even think about it is the SKU, the convention or the taxonomy that they use. And it's because they think like, oh, well, I'm going to just list something on Amazon and I will say, okay, this is my product, bottle of water, blue, whatever. That's their SKU. But what I've seen, and for people that are really committed to this business and the people that want to grow, they want to expand at some point to another marketplace. So they want to go to Walmart, or they want to go to Target, or they want to go to their own Shopify store. And when you start combining multiple marketplaces in the mix, the catalog needs to be very well structured to support your expansion. And that it's something that most people, you know, think about when once they're doing it, instead of building it from the beginning. And what I mean by that is, for example, in the SKU taxonomy, your SKUs, you will label your SKUs in a way that will allow you to expand to future marketplaces. For example, you will start your SKU as AMZ, right? ANC dash bottle dash blue, for example, right? And you can even put FBA. So now you know that this SKU is for Amazon, is your bottle of water, is blue, and it's an FBA. Each particular component of the SKU taxonomy, it's super important. Why? Because the moment that you are expanding, and you will probably need a software to support all of your catalog and inventory to measure how much inventory you have for the bottle of water in blue, you need to have those things aligned. So you already know that for Walmart, you have 10 units, and for Amazon, you have 25, and for, I don't know, your Shopify store, you have 100. That is, in the long term, and the people that I work with that build catalogs just to list something quick without putting the, you know, thought behind how you should build a catalog, then when they try to expand, it's just an issue, especially when they try to go to Shopify and when they try to match inventory, you know, levels between both marketplaces or both platforms. That's the other part. It is possible
Does a Carbon6 actually have such a tool to manage it for multiple marketplaces?
Well, we have SoStock. SoStock is an inventory and forecasting tool, and right now it does integrate with external softwares that control inventory in Walmart and Shopify, but inside of SoStock, you cannot see or you cannot necessarily see the inventory going out to Shopify or Walmart as an example. So at the moment, they are just expanding to Vendor Central. So if you have Vendor, you can also manage your inventory in Vendor.
Got it.
But yeah, soon to be developed. That's a massive, massive software and a huge opportunity in the space, because nobody, I think the one that most people use, or at least in my experience with clients, is ShipStation and NetSuite. That's probably the two.
NetSuite is that's heavy.
Oh my god, it's so complex. So
We've integrated with NetSuite once, and that was terrible.
NetSuite is a very complex system. And the other thing, that's already four, I think, that I gave you. I'll close it at five, just because I think the foundations, like everything after five, it's probably something that depends on your business model and depend on your things. I will say that respecting the policy, but also having a lot of catalog hygiene, like, you should be paying attention to those SKUs that you're not selling anymore, that you haven't been selling for, I don't know, 2 years, 5 years, a couple of months, and you are not restocking anymore. And once you have that in the catalog, you're still liable for them. And that happens to a client once where they have a specific supplement that at one point Amazon decided that the active principle for that supplement wasn't allowed to be sold on the platform anymore. They were not selling it, but they have the inventory, they have the SKU or the listing in their managed inventory with zero units and none being sold in the last 365 days. They still got an account complaint, and at some point, because they were, it took them very long to reinstate that or appeal that, their account got a suspension warning. So they were about to be suspended for something that they were not selling in the past year and a half, year or so. So those are things where if you know that a SKU is going under and you don't have the SKU anymore, even if you think nothing will happen, even if you're just selling, I don't know, a brush, a hairbrush that doesn't really necessarily have a lot of compliance, make sure to have a good hygiene and saying like, okay, we're deleting it here. You can save the information. You can still store that information with a flat file, with your category listing report, if you ever want to go back and list it again. But don't have those things in your managed inventory, because they really can create more problems than the ones that they, you know, or the benefits that they give you just by being there.
Oh yeah, those are really good practices to manage the catalog. So thanks for those, Vanessa. And now I would love to talk about the Amazon SEO. So especially, I mean, we all know what is going on right now in the AI era. Not only talking about ChatGPT, but overall, there's a bunch of new softwares, new algorithms, and overall people are more aware of the AI, and Amazon is as well, of course, launching a lot of different things right now, especially because there's a new boom. And I would love to ask you actually about the AI algorithm and the Amazon SEO. Do you think that there will be some kind of the impact of the on the listings, or like there should be new practices that people should apply to their listings so their products will be like findable?
Oh, totally. I started talking about that a few months ago. I think, last year was the first time I talked publicly about it, was that the search algorithm is changing and it's integrating a lot of the AI. And when we talk about AI, as you mentioned, you have ChatGPT and those are things that create content from prompts. But what I'm seeing right now in the platform are the things that are being analyzed with the AI framework. So what I mean by that is that right now the system is looking at listings, reading the content that is on the listing, reading the title, the bullet points, the description, and also understanding the images. So before, what we had is an algorithm that understood keywords and were matching queries from customers to the keywords that you had on your listing. Basically,
That
it was
was
pretty.
pretty much the old algorithm that worked over the last years, right? And the new one, is there like, because I've read a few blog posts about that, right? Is it like this A9, or like they call it A9 algorithm? Is it the one that we're talking about right now, or are we talking about something different right now?
Okay, that's a great thing that I don't really know how to explain very well, but A9 is the name of the company. And if you go to a9.com, that's a well, not probably .com because that will redirect you to Amazon, but A9, it's the company that the data company that Amazon created to create the algorithms. So the people that work for A9 are basically the ones that design all of the mathematical and scientific algorithms and data to make the marketplace work, right? And other things. I don't really know what extent A9 is involved with just the marketplace. Also, they might be involved in AWS. So we call it A9 because that's the algorithm. People, when there is an update and we notice updates, not because Amazon tell us, again, you need to be on top of the changes. Most things that Amazon changes, they don't tell you. They don't send you an email saying like, "Hey, Jacob, by the way, we send the algorithm, well, sorry, we changed the algorithm and now you need to rank by this or that." That's not the reality. The reality is that most people learn from their experiences and they're like, "Oh, this is not working anymore. So why is my product launch is not working anymore? What did I do different? What happened? What changed?" And things like that. And there's a bunch of nerds in the space that are like dedicated to understand the algorithm. So when Amazon makes a change in the algorithm, people start talking about like, "Oh, now it's the a 10. Now it's the 8 in the 8 11, 8 12, 8 13." But the reality is that the company and the people behind it are called A9. So we don't, so there's some people, and they use this as a clickbait, I guess, that they say like, "Oh, click the or find the new tricks of the 8 10 algorithm or the 8 11." I mean, yeah, there are updates. I'm not saying that they're not, but I don't think the name changes. So if you ask me right now, what is the algorithm that we are on right now? I don't know, I will say like A9.750,000, like to the point. We never know how many times that changed. So before we understand that, like keywords, queries, listings, we match. Perfect. Right now, because of the power of AI, Amazon is understanding, and that's the keyword, they understand your listing based on a semantical SEO and context, right? So let's say, and I gave this example before, let's say that I'm selling a bottle of water, like this one. I put the listing and it's so beautiful, but one thing that I don't necessarily say in my listing is that my bottle of water is perfect for a beach day. Right, to take it to the beach. Why? Because it keeps my drink cold. Perfect. Mm-hmm. That is not something that I put in my bullet points necessarily. But in my images, I have a girl by the beach with a bottle of water, drinking something, and I don't know, with a keyword maybe that says, keep your drinks cold all day long. Something like that. Now, with the power of AI, Amazon will understand that concept. They understand that this product fits in the context of beach day. So the next time somebody searches for something like beach accessories, right? Or even further, if you take it a step further, now we have the AI called Rufus, which is the personal shopper that customers will have access to when they search on Amazon. Instead of putting keywords, they will talk to Rufus and they will say mm-hmm. something like, hey, Rufus, I'm going next week to the beach. What are the things that you need, that mm-hmm. you think I need to have in order to, you know, be prepared for it? And Rufus will list all of the things that he thinks you need. And right now, because they understand your product and they understand your bottle, they will say, like, this bottle of water is actually a great accessory for the beach, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they analyze things like customer reviews, Q&As, mm-hmm. and website information, which is one of the things that we still don't really know where they're taking the information. That I think will be really, really dangerous, in my opinion. Is when they start taking from other outlets what your product is about, right? Mm-hmm. That's tricky because on Amazon, you can control things. But if a competitor puts up something about your product saying yeah. that it's so bad and it's so wrong.
You mean if the AI would actually scrape the websites out of the Amazon, of the brand, or is this yeah. what you mean? Oh yeah, that would be totally bad.
Yeah. Well, the memo said that they were gonna do that, mm-hmm. and we know that Amazon already scrapes the whole entire web for price. So they yeah. don't really scrape all of the information, all of the SEO. They scrape for price to make sure that you sell under the price that's the cheapest price on the whole internet, whatever. That's mm-hmm. a complete other story. But with SEO, you ask, so what have changed? Well, everything. In my opinion, everything. Why? Because right now, we're transitioning from being a keyword-heavy ecosystem or you know, listing creation or copy to a more semantic and contextual and more holistic way of explaining things. Right?
Oh yeah.
So think about that and think about, like, okay, how is, like, and I was, you know, creating some content around that. It's like, if you reverse engineer this, like, what are the things that you need to look for, or what are the things that your customers look for, or the pains that they have, or the issues that they have, the needs or the wants or the desires that they have in order to get to that product. So exactly. So imagine we now, or you know, in the past, what we were doing is that going to the end of the funnel, what is their search, what do they type on Amazon, mm-hmm. so we can sell to them. Right now it's going to the top of the funnel and saying, what are the pains, the desire, the needs that they have, mm-hmm. that will make them buy my thing, right? Because it will change, it will shift from being a keyword search engine to a prompt search engine. And yes. and I saw that example also. Walmart put it there. They released it at CES, the conference that happened in January in Vegas. They said that right now they have in their algorithm the same thing where people would prompt like, best or I'm hosting a Super Bowl party, what should I get? So they list the cups and the chips and the wok and the salsa and all of these things and the beer and all of that, instead of going one by one, instead of typing beer, instead of typing cups, instead of typing, you know, that is the future. And if we think even deeper, and this is just, okay, I think that I gave you the idea on what is happening in the ecosystem and the reality right now. What I'm going to say right now is pure speculation. My speculation is, or my hallucination is, that at some point, that personal shopper, and we call it Rufus on Amazon, will learn from you. So we'll learn what Jacob likes. So Jacob is, you know, as a user, as a customer or a target audience, Jacob doesn't like cheap stuff, for example. If he sees two type of products, he will prefer to buy the premium version. So since the algorithm learns from you, they will redirect you to things that make more sense for you. So right now, we're gonna, and this is something where I still don't have a clue how we're gonna compete in those areas, where now the algorithm will decide how and when to show your product, rather than, you know, the organic result. And, you know, in the whole thing, I still see that this new model could raise a huge issue on, you know, relevancy and fairness. Because when you put a search query on Amazon, you see a bunch of results. But when you ask something to the algorithm, you only see a couple of results.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see 100,000 results. So just a couple. And that's where I still see this will create an issue. And this will, for the people that, you know, ride the wave like early, that will be a massive, massive competitive advantage. We're still really early. I hope that in the next couple of months, we're going to see more about how Rufus ranked things on Amazon and what are the, you know, implications for us on SEO. Also, one of the things, and again, pure speculation here, is that if this algorithm works the way that I told you it works, the ads will be tricky to run. Because right now, the most profitable side of the business in on Amazon Marketplace is ads. They make money through ads. And if the Rufus is only showing certain things based on context, then where are the ads? So people will start like investing money there, or you're gonna have promotions or sponsored products through Rufus. That will be insane. So again, speculation. We still don't know.
Totally.
Working on it, testing a bunch of things, breaks, and what sticks.
Totally. But no, thanks a lot, Vanessa. That was like very informative answer. I actually wanted to jump into in a few points, but like, overall, I think that what is happening on Amazon, this is already like happening in Google. I think Google Bart launched that already. I've seen it for the first time there, that actually you write a prompt and you got the results. And also like for Google, you can directly buy items, right? Usually if you actually put the product name in Google, you actually get the recommendations, like it can be from Amazon and of course other stores. And actually that was the problem that I saw also very early, that once there will be a prompt, more like talking to the AI, then the ads will be very tricky, because in the end, like that's how they make money, right? So definitely they won't do it fully. So it fits to human, to people. So it's not like fully based on your really experience and your best intent, because definitely like they need to still make money, right? It's a marketplace. So it will be very interesting. And especially because like I've never seen it actually, this Rufus, but this is more like a chatbot, right? It won't be integrated in the search bar, right? Or how?
Because I think it will, so the search bar will have like an icon. You know how right now, I don't know if you have Mac or Windows, but you know,
Mac,
now
yeah.
Windows have a copilot. So you'll see in the search bar here, and I have Windows, so I see it in the search bar. I have the icon of the copilot. So if I click copilot, I can look through the AI. And if I just search regularly, I just you know, it's a regular search. So
okay.
I think that's how it's going to work. Maybe it's a pop-up. We'll see how this will, you know, change a bunch of things. I don't know that we're close to see it in real life. But yeah.
Oh yeah, but that, this will be interesting and overall like the search that each of us just by having our Amazon account will have kind of completely different searches. This will be so interesting to also see from software perspectives, because this will give so much of the room for the new features actually to build on top of that. Basically, that will be based on your learning model, like, because the AI will learn from you and then you will have a software that does a bunch of things but just fully specified to you. So this will be very interesting to watch, and I'm actually really curious to see that comment. But yeah, again, thanks a lot for very deep an explanation on this SEO algorithm for the Amazon. And overall, I think that it's actually great that right now it's not only about keywords, it's actually about improving every aspect of your listing, right? Even like things like photos and the case that you said about the beach. I think it's great because it will give you better results in the end. And I've seen it already also on like across the web. It's not only Amazon, but like Google, especially YouTube, like time frames. Even if you put something to Google right now, it actually also crawls the images. It shows you, it has the text image recognition models. So all of that is basically applied to Amazon, and I think it is great because again, no longer is just the war on keywords, but all things. So you really need to look at your listings holistically. And so
yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Vanessa, last few words from your side. So again, thanks a lot actually for coming and sharing with us all of the exciting things about the Amazon and its AI and about the Amazon catalog. So lastly, if you could share maybe where people can find you, how they can reach out to you.
Sure. So it's my favorite social media right now is LinkedIn. So if you go to LinkedIn, just look for Vanessa Hung. I'm there. Follow, connect, send me a DM if you have any questions. I'd love to have any conversations, especially if somebody here is listening and is a nerd and knows a lot about the data. I'd love to have a conversation. I just keep that. This is just so interesting to me. Also, Instagram, it's at isvanessahung. You can go to the website of the agency, onlinesellersolutions.com, and also, obviously, you know, go to the website at carbon6.io. Well, email if you want to email me. Also very good, Vanessa at Online Seller Solutions or Vanessa at carbon6.io. Both of them work. They go to my phone and my computer, so I'm on top of that every day.
Awesome. Perfect. I will definitely include those also in a description of this podcast on a YouTube and other platforms. So Vanessa, thanks a lot for coming. That was awesome.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks.